Namaskaram, Michael.
Namaskaram.
So on this Jayanti day, just a couple of days ago, we released a video of Sri Aksharamana Malai in our Vimeo video channel with Swami Sadhu Om's voice and your translation and explanatory paraphrases. So in relation to that, I have a few questions. I will start with the first one first. So what is the significance of Sri Arunachala Aksharamana Malai?
Till now, we've been talking about Uludu Napadu. Uludu Napadu is the very heart of Bhagavan's teachings. And the heart of that heart is Aksharamana Malai. Aksharamana Malai poured forth from Bhagavan's heart when he was going round the hill. Tears were streaming from his eyes as he composed it. So the ink was on, but he was writing on a piece of paper, and the ink was getting smudged by the tears that were flowing down. Bhagavan's whole heart was poured out into Aksharamana Malai. If we want to really understand Bhagavan, we cannot understand Bhagavan without understanding Aksharamana Malai. That is, Bhagavan is the embodiment of Satchidananda. His Sat is his being. Bhagavan is himself Sat. The clarity of Chit is shining through in all his works, particularly works like Uludu Napadu. That is the Jnana aspect, the Chit aspect. The Ananda aspect, the love aspect, is shown most clearly in Arunachala Aksharamana Malai. So we can't really understand Bhagavan without understanding Aksharamana Malai. It is Bhagavan often used to say, bhakti is the mother of jnana. Without love, the last question was about finding it difficult to turn within because we've got so much inclination to go outwards. This is the problem. It's all a matter of inclination. We've got the Vishaya Vasanas are our inclination to go outwards. We need to weaken those Vishaya Vasanas and cultivate the Sat Vasana, which is the inclination to go within, the love to go within. That is what Aksharamana Malai is all about. It's about that struggle between the Vishaya Vasanas and the Sat Vasanas. Bhagavan says in one verse in Guru Vachaka Kovai, but in Puranas, they tell so many stories about Devasura Yuddha, the warfare between the gods and the demons. Bhagavan said that is nothing but the warfare that's going in the heart of each and every aspirant. The warfare between the love to turn within and to surrender ourselves completely, and the strong liking to go outwards. Our Vishaya Vasanas are the Asuras. The Devas are the Sat Vasana, the love to turn within. So Aksharamana Malai is all about that warfare. The Pokum Varavimil Poduvili Inilal Pora Tanka Tarunachala. Show me Pokum Varavumil means Pokum Varavumil Poduveli in the open space of a common space, the open space where there's no coming and going. Show me the warfare of your grace. That warfare of grace is the warfare between the Sat Vasana and the Vishaya Vasanas. That is what Aksharamana Malai is all about. We all have to fight this battle between our Vishaya Vasanas and our Sat Vasana. So Aksharamana Malai is the greatest aid to us in fighting this battle. That is Uludu Napadu, Nana, Upadesha Undia, Amabide, all these works are showing us the way. But once we embark on this journey, we had to fight so many demons on the way. But demons are our own vasanas. So this akshamlai is the greatest aid to us, the greatest support to us in this battle against all the demons in our own heart, the demons in the form of vishaya vasanas. We have so much liking, so much love to go outwards, and that is what is causing all our misery. So this is what it is all about. I mean, there are so many verses. Every verse in akshamlai is a gem. I mean, I just take one verse, for example, just to illustrate this. Usutrulambida dunai kandadangida unnara hei kataranachala. Arunachala, so that seeing you interruptedly, the mind which roams the world will subside completely, show your beauty. This Usutrulam, the mind which is constantly roaming about the world. Why is it roaming about the world? Under the sway of the Vishaya Vasanas. Because we have allowed ourselves to become a slave to our own Vishaya Vasanas, we are wandering around in this world and suffering. So, and why we don't turn within? Because we still have so much liking to continue wandering around the world. We're wandering around, the mind is wandering around the world because it likes to do so. So when will it ever be willing to turn within, to see Bhagavan, see Arunachala as he actually is, shining in the heart as I, only when he shows his beauty to us. So this is a prayer. But we are all deluded by the allurement of the world. The world looks so alluring, so interesting. So our mind is constantly going out towards it. But if we would look within, if we were willing to look within, we would see that great beauty that exists in our heart. Then our mind would lose all taste to ever go outwards. So this is a prayer. So actually, every verse in akshamlai is a prayer, but is to support us in this battle between our Vishaya Vasanas and Satvasana. Satvasana means the love to turn within, to attend to our being, and to be as we actually are. What Bhagavan talked about in the first verse of, or first Mangalam verse of Uludanaptu, Ullate, Ullapadi, Ullade, Ullal. Truly meditating on Arunachala, on Brahman, is nothing but being in the heart as it is. To be in the heart as it is, we need to stop wandering outside. We need to turn within and see the great beauty ever shining in our heart as I am. So this is what akshamlai is all about.
Thank you, Michael. And what makes Swami Sadhuvam's rendition so unique? I have heard so many versions, but that's something about Swamis.
Well, I can only say just listen to it. Listen to it and you'll see for yourself. That is, the first song of Bhagavan that Sadhuvam ever heard was akshamlai. His heart was melted the first time he heard it. And he had so much love for akshamlai. Because it's the very heart of Bhagavan. I mean, who can deny it? We cannot know Bhagavan without knowing akshamlai. How to know akshamlai? Not just by reading it. We need to melt with love, contemplating on the meaning of akshamlai. So, because Sadhuvam's life was a life of complete surrender to Bhagavan, our mind cannot conceive the depth of his devotion to Bhagavan. And so when he's singing akshamlai, his devotion comes through so, so clearly. So it's the bhava with which he sings. But this is not something that can be explained in words. We cannot, if someone else says, oh, no, I like such and such a version. I think that's a nicer version. That's a version I'm familiar with. Fine, okay, you like it. But if we really listen deeply to Sadhu Om, if we listen to the bhava with which he sings, we will understand why we are so fortunate that his singing of Akshramlai has been recorded. There are actually several different recordings of it. Yes, it is very special, Sadhu Om's recording. But it's special because of his complete, because his heart was melted by Akshramlai. And when our heart melts, it dissolves in the ocean of infinite love that is Bhagavan. Ambu vilalipol, ambu ruvunilene, ambai kare taralarunachala. Bhagavan sings in verse 101. like ice in water, melt me as love in you, the form of love. Ambu vilalipal, amburu vanileni, ambai kare tarol. Arul, the verb arul, means grace. That is, he's beseeching Bhagavan, he's beseeching Arunachala to melt him in himself, a form of love, like ice in water. If there's an iceberg floating in the ocean, that iceberg is nothing but the same water that the ocean is made of. It's nothing other than the ocean. But it seems to be something separate because of its frozen heart. So we are like the iceberg with a frozen heart. So only the love of Bhagavan can melt our heart and when our heart melts, we merge in him because he is the ocean of infinite love. So only when we melt with love, when we melt as love in him, the form of love, do we truly become him. Because Sadhu Om have melted as love in Bhagavan, his singing of Akshramlai is very, very special. Oh, and I was saying about the verb Bhagavan uses, the actual prayer is arul. Arul means, it means grace, both as a noun and as a verb. And grace is nothing but love. So we can take arul there. Though arul is the main verb, we can take it as an adverb meaning lovingly. So we can translate that like ice in water. Lovingly melt me as love in you, the form of love, Arunachala. So that is Akshramlai. The beauty of Akshramlai cannot be, it just has to be experienced. That is, there's so much, we see the full love that Bhagavan had for Arunachala in Akshramlai. And of course, and he also makes clear, Arunachala is nothing but that which is always shining in our heart as I. So his love for Arunachala is his love for I. And this is the love that we are all lacking. But he at least, there's another very beautiful verse. Nesamila. Nesamil enakun aseye kartini mo sanchaya darul Arunachala. It's such a beautiful verse. Nesamil enakun, in me, or for me who had no love. Nesamil enaku un aseye kartini. You showed that desire for you. That is, you gave me, though I had no love at all, though I was completely bereft of love, you gave me your desire for you. You gave me the love for you, the liking for you. Nesamaleniku on aseye kartine, you showed me that love. Mosanchaya daral Arunachala, graciously or lovingly, do not cheat me, do not disappoint me. That is, it is true, I totally lack genuine love for you, but at least you've given me a little bit of desire for you. So don't disappoint this love that I, this desire, but you yourself have given me this desire. So you shouldn't disappoint me after giving me this desire. This is like, that is another beauty about Akshamlai. It is written in the language of bridal mysticism. That is, Bhagavan is a young 16-year-old girl who has come to Arunachala. Sadhu Om often used to say this, when he recited Akshamlai, he often would have in his mind's eye Bhagavan as a young 16-year-old girl coming to Arunachala, walking around the hill with a garland in her hair. And to put over Arunachala, to have that union with her Lord and Savior Arunachala. So that is the reason Bhagavan wrote it as in this bridal barber. That is the on a human level, the most intimate and intense love we feel is the love between for most of us, it's between man and woman. That is the carnal love we feel for someone. This is the most intense love we feel in our embodied state. So that is a beautiful a very fitting analogy for the love that the soul has for God. So God is the bridegroom. The Arunachala is the bridegroom. Bhagavan is the bride, a 16-year-old girl. So she has come to Arunachala with no love in her heart, but he has kindled desire for him in her heart. So now he shouldn't, having attracted the young girl, if a man doesn't abandons her and doesn't fulfill her love for him, if he doesn't marry her, then that's a worse kind of cheating. That's in another verse. Bhagavan says, "Yiduvo anma, is this your manliness?" Okay, I'll just go through a series of verses because these are all connected together. Verse 7, he says, Uneye matri oda dulatinmel urudiai irupai Arunachala. Uneye matri means cheating you. Odadu, so that it does not run out, cheating you. Ulatinmel, sit, urudiai irupai. Be firmly seated, may you be firmly seated on my mind so that it does not run out deceiving you. And then he says the next verse that I read earlier, so that seeing you uninterruptedly, the mind which roams the world will subside completely, show your beauty. And then in verse 9, he says, "Ene eritipo." Then any kalavabidil iduvo an my Arunachala. Now Arunachala, now if you do not unite with me, destroying me, the implication is destroying me here is a metaphor for or a metaphor for the destroying me. Destroying me means destroying the ego. The analogy is the virginity of a girl who has come to marry Arunachala. He has to consummate the marriage by destroying her virginity. So that is the analogy for eradicating. Our virginity is ego. That is what he has to destroy. So Bhagavan asks, if you do not unite with me, destroying me, is this your manliness? So having attracted a young girl, If Arunachala does not marry the young girl and consummate the marriage by destroying the girl's virginity, in other words, eradicating ego, is it manliness? So there's lots of that is, it's written in this spirit, in this barber of, this is because this is the best language. That is, language is a very crude medium for expressing either the truth that Bhagavan teaches us in works like Uludunapadu. Language is a crude medium for doing so. It's also a crude medium for expressing love. So we have to use human analogies, like the analogy of a bride and the bridegroom. And then he goes on to say, in the next verse, Ein inda urakum, why this sleep? Ene pira iruka, when others are dragging me, why this sleep? If Arunachari is sleeping and letting others come into his bridal chamber and take away his bride, is that appropriate? Idu una karago, is it appropriate for you to be sleeping while others are coming and dragging me outwards? So when others are coming to the bridal chamber and take away the bride, if Arunachari just sleeps happily, is it befitting? Is it becoming him? And who are those others? I'm Bula Kalva, I'm Bula means for five sheaves, five senses. Kalva means thieves. So the five sense thieves. In other words, the five sense thieves means the Vishaya Basanas, our liking to go outwards, to attend to things other than ourselves. These are the five sense. So when these five sense thieves entered my heart, were you not in my heart? So the thieves that have come in to steal us away, to steal us for bride, away from our bridegroom, are these five senses. In other words, the Vishaya Basana, the inclination for our liking to go out through the five senses to experience all the things of the world. These are thieves. And if Arunachari is manly, he shouldn't sleep. He should rise up and protect us. Rise up by showing his true beauty and thereby stopping our mind from wandering out in the world. So what Bhagavan is expressing here, he expresses these in the form of prayers, but these are so appropriate to anyone who is truly following this path of self-investigation. Because though Bhagavan has said this is the easiest of all paths, and indeed it certainly is the easiest, it seems a mighty struggle to us. Why does it seem a mighty struggle? Because we have so much liking to go outwards. So there's a great battle going on in our heart between our liking to go outwards and our love to turn within and surrender ourselves wholly to him. So this is what Aksharamulai is all about. It's about this inner struggle between our Vishaya Basanas and Satvasana. That's what Aksharamulai is all about. And what is the solution? Bhagavan gives the solution also. Tirambi ahamdani dinamahakankan teriyum andranaya naranachala. Turning within daily or constantly, see yourself with the inner eye. Teriyum, it will be known. What will be known? Teriyum, undranayen. You said to me, how did Arunachala say to Bhagavan? Arunachala obviously didn't say in words. Arunachala teaches in silence. Bhagavan was able to understand the silent teaching of Arunachala, so he translated it to us in our language of words. So what Arunachala is teaching through silence is that we should daily or constantly be turning within to see ourselves with the inner eye. And how can we, what will happen if we see ourselves? It will be known. What will be known? What he referred to in the previous verse, tane tane tatvam. Tane means oneself. Tane is an intensified form of oneself. So tane means alone. So oneself alone is tatva. Is the reality. That's one meaning. Or we can take it, oneself alone is oneself. is the tattva. That is, what is the tattva of Bhagavan's teaching? Nan nan, aham aham, I am I. Oneself alone is oneself. We are nothing other than ourselves. That is the reality. Tane kartavai Arunachala, show this to me yourself. Bhagavan prayed to Arunachala. And what did Arunachala reply? Turn within, daily see yourself. So it's the beauty of Aksharam Lai is just so, it's just so, so, such a perfect work. I don't think there's any work in all the poetry or spiritual literature of the world to compare with Aksharam Lai. It's such simple verses, but so deep in heart melting love.
Thank you, Michael. The third question, which I wrote down here, is superfluous at this point. I think you already explained it right from the beginning. What is the personal impact of this song on you?
Unfortunately, far too little. He is Nesamilenakun Arseye Kartane. He's given me a little bit of desire for him, but I'm still bereft of love. I still don't turn within enough. So Aksharam Lai reminds me of how little love I have. This is the impact it has on me, reminding me of how much love I lack. But the little love I have, or the little liking, the little desire I have, is given only by him. So it just makes me long for more and more love, to turn with him more and more.
So what is your recommendation? How... One of the complaints, like I heard, like, you know, I've been organizing satsangs since 2010 or so here in Houston. And people had a tough time connecting with Aksharam Anamali. That's one of the reasons why I'm bringing this whole thing up. And I had to go a bit more philosophical and trying to now change course, incorporate more of these devotional elements into our satsangs. And that this is the first step, you know, and we're taking the step in the right direction. Put the translation also, this, you know, for a video of Aksharam Anamali, so people who don't understand the Tamil language can also connect. So we took that first step. So what is your recommendation to people, to non-Tamils, to Westerners, and even for Tamils who still haven't developed the liking? How do you use the song in their spiritual journey?
Let the song use you. Read it, think about it, and understand what Bhagavan is talking about is our own experience. We can truly understand Aksharam Lai. We can truly understand the meaning of Aksharam Lai only if we have genuinely tried to turn within and come up against all the obstacles in the form of our own vishaya-vasanas, our own liking to go outwards. The more we experience this by trying to turn within, the more we will truly understand Aksharam Lai, because that's what Aksharam Lai is all about. It's all about that struggle to turn within, that struggle against our own vasanas, our own the struggle of our sattvasana against our vishaya-vasanas. So you can't understand Uludunaptu just by reading it once. I've been studying Uludunaptu now for 45 years, and I'm still learning from it. The same is the case with Nanya. The same is exactly the case with Aksharam Lai. Aksharam Lai, both Murugana and Saduam reported when they first heard Aksharam Lai, well, in the case of Murugana, I think he read it. In the case of Saduam, he actually heard it being recited, because he had heard about Bhagavan. He had read Ramana Vijayam, which is a Tamil biography of Bhagavan. And he wanted to go and visit Ramanashram, so he wanted more information. And some people suggested to him, but there's a lady called Janaki Mata, who is a devotee of Bhagavan and often goes there. So if you go and meet her, she can advise you. So he went to meet Janaki Mata, and he said he wanted to go to Tiruvannamalai. Are there any formalities? Do you have to write in advance, or do you have to be in correspondence with them, or whatever? Are there any formalities? And she said, we're going next weekend. You can come with us. And on that next weekend or the following weekend, I don't know, they were going soon after that. She said he could come, he could accompany them. And there were no formalities. Bhagavan was an open to all who came. And then she asked him, have you heard, do you know Akshramlai? He said, no, what is Akshramlai? She said, this is Bhagavan's, this is the song that Bhagavan wrote on Arunachala. And then she and others there began to recite, and they gave him the book. And so he was also reciting. It melted his heart. Similarly, Murugana, before Murugana came to Bhagavan, his father-in-law, Dandapani Swami, who was at one time the manager of the ashram, he gave Murugana a copy of Akshramlai. When Murugana, before that, Murugana had been an ardent follower of Gandhi, and he was a great ardent believer in the need for Swatantra, for the liberation, the freedom or independence of India. And he'd actually written a collection of songs called Swatantra Gitam, which had been published as a book. But when he read Akshramlai, he completely turned around. That turned him, he lost all interest in all politics and all outward things. He understood the one who has sung this is the same Lord Shiva who appeared in Tiruperundurai before Manikavasaka. So he understood the greatness of Bhagavan just by hearing, but just by reading Akshramlai, exactly the same with Saduam. Just by hearing it, his heart melted. So for such mature souls, just hearing or reading Akshramlai once is sufficient. They are like small little ice cubes in the ocean. They will melt very quickly. We are like huge, big icebergs, so much up above the water and even far more below the water level. So to melt us is far, far more difficult, but Bhagavan will do so. Bhagavan will unfailingly melt all of us. But Akshramlai is one of the potent weapons by which he melts us. So because of our hard, ice-like heart, it may take us time, but Akshramlai will melt even a stone. It will melt even a diamond, the hardest of all substances. It is so, but we need to dwell on it. And most importantly, what is Akshramlai all about? It's all about this, that is, Bhagavan is a young 16-year-old girl coming to Arunachala, praying for divine union with him, praying for marriage and consummation of a marriage. That is what Bhagavan is praying for outwardly. But inwardly, what he is praying for is to turn within and to merge back into the heart. So that my mind, which wanders about this world, will subside. Show your beauty. Who are those thieves who are, when those thieves came into my heart, dragging me outwards, were you not still in my heart? So it's all about this struggle between our liking to go outwards and the need for us to turn back within, for which we have far, far too little liking, at least speaking for myself. We can cultivate that liking only by persistently trying to turn within. And in our struggle to turn within, this Akshramlai is the greatest of great supports, because here Bhagavan is expressing the journey that every spiritual aspirant goes through. And every true spiritual aspirant goes through this struggle between the liking to turn within and the liking to go outwards, between the Satvasana and the Vishayabhasana, between the Swatma Bhakti, the true Bhakti, the love to turn within, and all our desire for, and attachment for everything else. this is what it's all, this is what the spiritual journey is all about, and this is what Aksharamala is all about. So this is such an important text and such a valuable text. This is such a great support to anyone who is who really wants to follow the path of Bhagavan, the path of turning within and merging back into the heart. And everyone who is struggling to do so, this is the great support that Bhagavan has given us. So this is, as I say, Uludunaptu is the heart of Bhagavan. And the heart of Bhagavan is Aksharamala. So Uludunaptu is such a fine work, but it all it will fall on deaf ears if we don't put it into practice. And to put it into practice, we must have great love to put it into practice. We must be ready to face the struggle with our own vasanas. We must be ready to stand up and not allow ourselves to be swayed by our vasanas. We must be ready to cling firmly to self-attentiveness. That is what Aksharamala is all about, the actual nitty-gritty of the struggle. But Nana and Uludunaptu and Upadesha Undia exhort us to undertake this struggle. But what are the difficulties we come across when we try to take this journey back home? That is what Aksharamala is all about. So it is such a, words fail. I can't say in words. I can't say. Aksharamala speaks for itself. No, nobody can say what the greatness of Aksharamala is. It alone can reveal to us. That is, Bhagavan alone can reveal in our heart what is the greatness of Aksharamala. It speaks for itself.
That is well said. That's well said. So with that, there's just a couple of comments in interest of
time. This is why I've always been so diffident to talk about it, because I'm totally unfit to talk about it.
We've been arguing for 2 years now, right? I mean, I've been always telling you, well, Michael, when are you going to do this?
I know. I don't feel myself fit to do so, but I will try. Bhagavan will, if Bhagavan wants me to, it will happen.
Thank you, Michael. Murthy, you had a comment?
Yeah, Om Namo Bhagavate Sri Arunachal Ramanaya. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, Michael, I think more than what he said, the way his heart melts is the best thing communicated in this session, I would say, at least for myself. And as far as Aksharamala is concerned, I think it removes the seeker from the fight. Basically, the verse he quoted, "Pokum varavum il poduveli inil it poratam kaat Arunachala," right? So the fight or the battle is no more the seekers. If one resorts to Aksharamala and Bhagavan's grace, using all the techniques shown, demonstrated in Aksharamala, like beseeching, begging, pleading and chiding, all kinds of emotional outburst of a real seeker is demonstrated in Aksharamala. So once somebody uses Aksharamala as a tool, whether it is translation, whether it is interpretation, and Michael has excellent translation for all the verses, and there are other translations as well. So if translations are used, that's good enough. You don't need to know the original Tamil. If one decides to use it as a tool, then one finds that they are removed from the fight. They are removed from the battle. They are not battling anymore their Vishayavasanas. The grace takes over. The grace battles it for you. So then that is one way of weakening the individuality. So that is, so in other words, you don't even end up doing any effort. It becomes, seeking becomes effortless. And one has to feel themselves to know this. I mean, no amount of telling by somebody else. So it doesn't matter what language one speaks, what culture they come from, unless they develop love for the goal, they're not going to be able to get anywhere near the goal. That's the truth even in the material world, right? So the, how do you develop the love? Aksharmanamala is the truth. And the only thing which is asked for in Aksharmanamala is the sayujyam, the union, or yeah. the dropping of the individuality. So yes. nothing else is asked for. No material benefit is asked for.
No, no.
So that's why it is very unique. And Michael demonstrated it actually, you know, the how it makes your heart melt. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Murthy.
What you say is wholly true, but one thing we shouldn't forget. Eninum guru katya varipadi tavarada nadakavendam. We have to follow the path shown by him. He himself says in Akshamlai Tirumbiyaham, we have to be trying to turn within. We will understand and we will benefit from Akshamlai only to the extent to which we truly try to turn within. Yes, it is grace, but is working through us. Without grace, we wouldn't even have begun to have any interest in this following Bhagavan's path at all. But sometimes people, there's a verse in Guru Acharya Kovaya. I can't remember the exact meaning of the verse, but it's something to the effect that people ask, which comes first? Is it that Shiva enters the heart and the Jiva goes, or is it that the Jiva goes and Shiva enters? Something like that. It's not that exactly, but it's something to that effect. And Bhagavan says, to such people, we have no answer, because these are not two different things. Shiva entering the heart and Jiva going are one and the same thing. To the extent to which ego subsides, Arunachal shines forth as I am I. To the extent that ego, the false awareness, I am this, subside, our real nature shines forth as I am I. So which is the cart and which is the horse? So the grace is absolutely essential. But grace is not something out there. Grace is always in our heart. Grace works from within. Bhagavan often said, grace is the beginning, the middle, and the end. So the grace works from within us. Grace is what has kindled this little nesamilenakun ase katane. It's he who's given us this little liking for him. So he has started the process by giving us this liking. We need to yield ourselves to him by trying to turn within. So long as we rise as ego, we have a part to play. We have a part to try to turn within, to stop going outwards. That's what the verses are all about not going outwards, about going within. So we it is true, as you say, it's all done by grace. We have no part to play, but we seem to have a part to play. We need to play our seeming part. But eventually, when we have been swallowed by grace, we will not feel we've done anything. It's all been done by grace. As Bhagavan said, grace is the beginning, the middle, and the end. But the grace is that which, as Bhagavan also revealed in Guru Acharya Kovaya, grace is that which is always shining in our heart as I. So it's through us that the grace is working. Grace is not coming from heaven to fall down on our head and save us. Grace is ever shining in our heart, ever beckoning us within. We are the ones. Ramakrishna Paramahamsa put it very beautifully. He said, the grace of three people are necessary for liberation. The grace of God, the grace of Guru, and the grace of Jiva. The grace of God and the grace of Guru is ever present. In fact, it's one and the same. Truly speaking, but God and Guru are one and the same. What is lacking is the grace of the Jiva. Bhagavan says very, in different words, Bhagavan says the same thing in Guru Acharya Kovaya. People complain about God being ungracious, but God is never ungracious. God is so gracious, but he makes himself ever available to us by shining in our heart as I. But we are the ones who are ungracious, because instead of turning within and attending to him lovingly, we're allowing our mind to go outwards. So everything is done by grace, but we need to do our part, which is to yield ourselves to grace. We yield ourselves to grace by trying to turn within.
Michael, at some point of time, a sincere seeker feels that despite the best intention and despite the best striving from their side, some of the sensual worldly attractions are so powerful that they aren't able to fight it themselves. So my point was that the essential aspect of grace running the show completely, even as an individual, that yes. feeling that I am doing self-inquiry, I am doing self-investigation. In fact, Sadhuam Swamigal has created a verse, and I'm not able to quote it. He says, if someone says that I did self-inquiry and I attained union, it'd be a lie. Literally, that the verse means that.
Tahunda vicharamenum sadhane se dulle.
Exactly.
I can't remember. It's a verse in Arunachalamba.
Exactly. Yes. So that's what it is. So even in striving to do self-investigation, the individuality arises to assert itself.
Absolutely.
That is the tendency which needs to be fought. Yeah. And Arunachala Akshraman Malai helps extremely in that tendency being hit directly on the head.
Yes,
everything is put on the grace, including the ability to do self-inquiry,
yes.
the ability to fight the sensual and worldly attractions. Everything is grace initiated and grace sustained. If that belief comes in strongly in the seeker, then they basically surrender. And that surrender itself is a process of weakening the individuality, which will in turn help the turning inwards.
Exactly. Yes.
Good. Well, thank you.
That verse, I can't remember the Tamil. It begins, Dahunta vicharamenum sadhane se dulle. But Sadhuam also translated it into English. I think the English verse was, a naked lie then it would be if any man were to say that he realized the self diving within through proper inquiry set in. Not for knowing, but for death, the good for nothing ego's worth. 'Tis Arunachala the self alone by which the self is known.
Exactly. It's Arunachala, which if somebody claims that they did this practice of self-investigation and attained the union, it would be a blatant lie. That's what that verse says.
Yes, exactly.
And he concludes that it is Arunachala which appears. It's the same concept of ornaments appearing on the gold, right? The ego, which is the ignorance, is also not outside of self.
Yes, exactly. That's why I was saying the grace. Everything is done by grace, but grace works through us. And the part we have to play is to yield ourselves to that grace. And we yield ourselves to it by trying to turn within. Even our trying to turn within, it's only grace that is motivating us to try to turn within.
In fact, when you say that, we need to try and turn within, and grace is, everything is grace, but we need to do this. That itself is separated. There is no we, there is no us. There is no us, which is what one needs to remind oneself, because even in the process of self-investigation, the individuality has a tendency to assert. And that is why he wrote that verse in the first place.
If we are really practicing self-investigation, that is the dissolution of the individuality. That is, ego asserts itself. Ego rises to the extent we tend outwards. So when we're turning within, that is the surrender. That is the yielding of ego.
Exactly. And Arunachala Akshraman Malai, what can I say? I mean, like you said, it's,
no words can say.
Arunagiri Nadar starts a work called Arkandar Anubhuti with these words. He says, Nenja gana kallum negindidave. He says, the strong, heavy stone of this mind, to melt it, oh Muruga, you please help me. So what Arunachala Akshraman Malai does.
That's
it melts
all
your
about.
Heart. It melts your strong and heavy mind, stone-like mind.
Yes.
So that this worldly attachments or worldly attractions and sensual objects attracting you becomes a non-issue, because the grace takes over the fight.
Yes.
And then you see that it becomes a non-issue and you're able to turn inwards very easily.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One more thing I'd like to add that came to my mind now. Sure. When Murugana started to write a commentary on Akshraman Malai, some of the verses, he was not entirely sure what Bhagavan meant. So he wanted clarification from Bhagavan. So he asked Bhagavan, what is meant here? What Bhagavan replied is very beautiful. Bhagavan said, the fellow who wrote this has gone away. If you want me to give a meaning for this, I have to break my head. You may as well break your head and give meaning yourself. So Bhagavan was so bereft of doership, he didn't even take it as his own composition. Yeah. And there's also a reason for that. That is, if Bhagavan had said, this is the meaning, that would set a limit on it. Many of the verses give room for multiple meanings. And there may be still more meanings there, but none of us have yet thought of. The meaning sometimes just flash to us. So Bhagavan didn't want to limit the meaning of it. So Bhagavan refrained from saying what any verse meant. A fellow who wrote it has gone away, so nothing to do with me. You try, you break your own head to interpret it.
Because there's no
definitive meaning for Akshamala.
Yeah, it's so close to us that actually literally Bhagavan has put the words in our mouth.
Yes.
So we can relate to it as, you know, we being the bride offering the, you know, are begging to Arunachala Ramana, that, you know, you help me with your grace.
So. Right.
Bhagavan knows our prayers long before we even become mature enough to pray them.
Exactly.
That is what Bhagavan has prayed for, is what every spiritual aspirant will be longing for. Bhagavan has got the essence of the heart of a devotee. Bhagavan has expressed perfectly in Akshamala.
In fact, all we need to do is just shamelessly copy.
Yeah.
just copy and get that emotion in your head. Which Bhagavan has when he sings this Arunachala Chandramali. Yeah. So,
thank you so much. The video of Akshamana Malay with Swami Sadhuam's voice and Michael's translation is on the Vimeo channel. So please make use of it, as Michael explained, the multiple benefits from listening, reflecting, and practicing what is in there.
I saw someone wrote, there was a chat message popped up. Someone asked if my translation is available anywhere. Not fully yet. I'm still working on it, but I'm hoping during the course of this year that I'll be able to make most of my translations of Bhagavan's works available on my blog or my website. So what is not available, I'm hoping to try and make most things available this year. And the translation that is, as it stands now, it's a work in progress, but some of my explanatory paraphrases of it's, as I say, there are many meanings of the verses, but Kumar has put them in the slides of that video he made.